The Philippines Health Secretary defends their move to shorten the quarantine period for COVID-related cases. FSE also rejects calls for free mass COVID-19 testing. Children 5 to 11 years old could get their COVID-19 jabs by the first week of February. And in focus today, the vice presidential bid of Senate President Vicente Soto III. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the news at this hour, the Philippines' health chief allaying the public's fears regarding the shortened isolation period for COVID-exposed persons. Under the new rule, the isolation period for vaccinated individuals who are asymptomatic or have mild COVID-19 will be shortened to 7 days. Their close contacts who are fully vaccinated would only have to isolate for 5 days. The unvaccinated or partially inoculated that are probable, mild, or asymptomatic cases will have to undergo isolation for 10 days. Secretary Francisco Duque III says with more people having gotten their vaccination and booster shots, there's less risk of a further spread of the virus.
The situation today is far different from what it was a year ago because now we have a much higher vaccination coverage. In fact, we have already vaccinated close to about 54 million Filipinos with the completed inoculation and about 58 million with the first dose.
But the Coalition for People's Right to Health, they're not convinced. It demands the health department to release the actual studies it based its decision on.
This aspect of reducing it to 7 days is based on a notion of an acceptable risk. You know? So how many, what is the percentage of the population that is less likely to be able to infect at the end of that time? And we have research showing that there is a significant decrease by the seventh day, but it is still not zero. It's still not even less than 5%. In the UK, they have to check if they test negative with lateral flow tests or antigen tests at day 5 or day 6. However, in the Philippines, we're just assuming that these patients would not be infectious at the end of the 7th or 10th day of isolation.
The Philippines continues to break records for both its daily COVID figures and active cases. The country posted over 34,000 new infections Thursday, pushing active cases to their highest level for the second straight day at more than 237,000. The positivity rate now at 47.9%. Currently, nearly 90% of the nationwide tally are from the National Capital Region, Central Luzon, and Calabarzon. For ABS-CBN News Data Analytics Head, this suggests that the country's different regions will reach their peak at different times.
So, possibly in terms of timing, pwedeng bumaba na itong tatlong regions, pero yung ibang regions mo, dun pala nagsastart dumami yung cases, so hindi siya magre-reflect sa national total.
A senator rejects the health department's claim there's not enough funds for free COVID testing. According to Senator Sunny Angara, the 2022 national budget contains 17.85 billion pesos for COVID-19 laboratory network commodities. He says this can be used for COVID testing. Angara now calls on the health department to immediately download these funds to government laboratories so they can offer more free tests to the public. Meanwhile, Health Secretary Duque again rejecting calls for mass testing, citing the lack of funds.
Kung 5% of the population, ilan tayo? 100 million. So 5 million per week. Divided by 7. That's 700,000 tests per day. Lagay mo na on the average 2,000 pesos per test. So 700,000 times 2,000 pesos per test. How much is that? That is 1.4 billion a day. Okay? That is 14 billion every 10 days. That's 42 billion in 1 month. My God, I'd rather put that money for my healthcare worker benefits, for ayuda, in communities that are doing granular lockdowns. That's the way to put these huge sums of money to best use.
The Philippines plans to begin vaccinating 5 to 11 years old or year olds by the first week of February. Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. says they moved up their timeline due to the earlier than expected delivery of age-appropriate Pfizer doses by the end of the month. The government, meanwhile, aims to finish the primary inoculations for minors aged 12 to 17 within the first quarter and begin the administration of their booster shots by the second quarter. In business, the Philippine Central Bank is confident the country can still achieve its growth target for the year despite the threat of the Omicron variant. Economic managers expect the local economy to grow 7-9% in 2022. BSP Governor Benjamin Diokno also assures top business executives the country's banking system remains sound.
We will still hit our projected growth of 7-9%. So the variant, as it turned out, is mild and less lethal. And so we're early in the year, right? So we hope that the variant will be gone by maybe middle of February or at the latest March. So that gives us confidence that we will hit our growth target of 7-9% this year and 6-7% for the next 2 years.
The Filipino-Chinese business community bullish about the Philippine economy as well.
Economic growth that I forecasted now, around 6.5% to 7.5% for this year, still remains now. Of course, the Omicron virus has put a dampen effect on this one, but as I see and I feel the pulse of our members, organizations, I think as long as it doesn't go beyond the first quarter, no, we can still achieve a respectable 6.5%. But if it goes beyond the first quarter, no, then maybe it will amend.
The Dutch wing of environmental group Friends of Earth is targeting 30 major corporate emitters of greenhouse gases. Friends of Earth is the group which won a landmark court victory against Royal Dutch Shell last year. It's now setting its sights on large companies with legal bases in the Netherlands. If firms cannot provide plans on how they will trim emissions of heat-trapping gases, then the group says it will have to sue them as well.
We are very clear that in the end, if needed, we are willing to go to court. But of course, we hope these companies will be moving by themselves already in the coming 2 years. Some of them are actually relatively small in the Netherlands themselves, but they have a very large international global impact. And the Shell verdict very clearly states that they are to be held accountable. It's possible to hold them accountable in a legal way for their global emissions via the Dutch law. And that was the very strong and important outcome of the Shell case.
In 2021, a Dutch court ruled that Shell must reduce the CO2 emissions of its operations and products by 45% by the end of year 2030. Shell is appealing that ruling. Former cabinet officials who served under former President Fidel V. Ramos have endorsed the presidential candidacy of Vice President Leni Robredo. In a joint statement, they stress that the Philippines needs a leader who will inspire unity, empower people, and bring out the best servant leadership. They also express grave concern over the continued patronage and money politics that have perpetrated dynasties and diverted people from electing principled leaders. The group believes Robredo is the only candidate who possesses those qualities. Among the 23 signatories of the statement are the former Environment Secretary Angel Alcala, former Health Chiefs Jaime Galvestan and Carmencita Riodica, as well as Senator Franklin Drilon, who was Ramos's Justice Secretary. Vice President Leni Robredo says she is humbled by the support, noting Ramos is said to have the best pool of cabinet secretaries in recent years. His is a storied career spanning decades spent in the public eye, both as an entertainer and as a politician. If you add it all up, from his entry into show business in the 1960s, then the eventual foray into politics years later, and up to now, Senate President Vicente Soto III has been in the people's consciousness for more than half a century. His popularity, though, goes beyond the populace. He is quite the influencer among his peers. He's been called a consummate politician, able to build consensus when and where it is needed. And this was evident in the early years of this administration as he helped prop up the regime of Rodrigo Duterte, a longtime friend since his days as vice mayor of Quezon City. Now that he's seeking the second highest post of the land, how divergent will Senate President Soto and his running mate, Senator Pánfilo Lacson's governance agenda be from the current administration's? And if it's not, then what kind of change are they offering the people? In focus, vice presidential candidate, Senate President Vicente Soto III. Mr. Senate President, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon. It's my honor and pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, I appreciate you coming to the show. This interview should have happened last week, but we all know what happened there. How are things at HQ? You guys doing good?
Yes, we're fine. We're not limited to just the problem of the pandemic in the HQ. There are other national issues that have to be discussed in our headquarters. You know how how the campaign goes along.
Yeah. Okay. Talking about national issues, I want to begin our conversation now, Mr. Senate President. I want to begin it 30 years ago when you wrote the song Magkaisa. Let's listen to a portion of that song, if you please. What a beautiful song you wrote right there, Mr. Senate President. That song was the anthem of the EDSA People Power Revolution. The question is, how does it make you feel right now as the one who wrote that song, knowing that the lyrics remain relevant today, that the problems you wrote about then are still persistent up to this day, Senator?
Yes. What inspired me then was the fact that there was unison as far as the people's sentiments were concerned during that time. And I was afraid. My recording studio then, for the record, was right behind Libis, just about a few blocks from Camp Aguinaldo. And there were soldiers and there were people, there were citizens all around. And I was really afraid that violence might erupt. And so I was hoping that we could get together, the people can get together. And that is a reason for the advent of Magkaisa. I'm really quite surprised that it's still relevant, even up to now. And I have been using it to convince our people that we should still try to work for a united Philippines, a better Philippines. Nakakalungkot din sometimes na maisip na 30 years ago, parang ang mga problema natin ganun pa rin sa ngayon. And perhaps that's the reason why we are trying to offer something else.
And that Marcos Jr. is now a front runner in the upcoming elections. What does that tell you, Senate President?
As I said, perhaps that is not too short a time for people to forget. there were two trends of thoughts, perhaps, during that time. But then again, if we really want to move forward, I think we should never forget history. We should always look back. There is a saying in Tagalog, I forgot how it goes, but it says that ang hindi ano lumilingon sa pinanggalingan, hindi makakarating sa paroroonan.
Lumingon po tayo sa pinanggalingan. Let's look back on history. Your running mate, Senator Panfilo Lacson, in his early years as a police officer, he was part of the Philippine Constabulary Metrocom Intelligence and Security Group. And that was a group that was responsible for many atrocities and abuses during the Marcos dictatorship. As you and this and Senator Panfilo Lacson were talking about being a tandem, how were you able to reconcile that part of his history and the promise that he brings into the future as a presidential candidate, or maybe if he wins, as the next president, Senator?
The participation of Senator Lacson as a Philippine Constabulary officer during the time of in 1972 and onwards were practically focused and highlighted by his good record, by his record in being able to lessen, if not eradicate, kidnappings during that time, and even after a few years after that, when the Philippine Constabulary was transformed into the Philippine National Police. That is the whatever is talked about as far as the MISG or whatever group is concerned during that time, it does not mean it's Senator Lacson. You can look at the record of the officer as himself and what he has done during those times and up to now. And if you will definitely recall, all the areas that he was assigned to, walang kotong. And when he became a Philippine National Police Chief, nawala ang kotong. Even the businessmen up to now agree. Many businessmen that we talk to are very happy that he is attempting to lead the country. And hopefully, with that, kung nagawa niya sa Philippine National Police yun, baka magawa din natin sa gobyerno.
But there was also one time, Mr. Senate President, when your running mate was a fugitive from justice. How did that factor into you making the decision to run alongside him?
Well, that is a very debatable issue. Some people would look at it as if he was a fugitive. But during that time, there was a pending appeal in the Supreme Court. And it was only the reason was that the incumbent president then just wanted him in jail, even if there was already a pending appeal and a motion for reconsideration, which was indeed granted later on. You know, that, I don't think he should have been called a fugitive during that time. He was exercising his rights.
What do you think then about those who say that this really highlights the inequality in our justice system? He was an influential, still is an influential senator, and he was able to use connections to flee. Kung sa isang regular na mamamayan nangyari po ito, nakulong na po.
I do not agree with what you said that because of his connections he was able to flee. No, he left before the order was given, and the order should not have been given in the first place because there was a pending case and there was a pending appeal. So you know, it's a looking at the glass half full or looking at it half empty.
I want to talk about your numbers now, Senate President Soto. Your numbers were high. That was until Mayor Sara Duterte declared. I want you now to tell the people why you should win over her and what sets you apart from Mayor Sara Duterte and the other candidates vying for the post of the second highest post in the land, Senator.
I will confine myself to what I stand for and what I believe in, you know, and not talk about the other candidates. Senator Lacson and I have agreed to have done that before, and we are still doing it now. We're avoiding it. Well, so let me say that perhaps when we choose, and if we're going to choose, you look at the track record of the candidate, not their promises. Their promises are easy to make. They have always, politicians have always made promises. And perhaps about 90-95% of these promises are not kept. Now, look at the track record. And my track record proves that what I want to do, if I am elected, I have done before. And I think there is much to be desired as far as the execution of these laws and these implementations that I have done before. I'm particularly talking about the issue of addressing the problem of illegal drugs and drug abuse. You will never be successful in addressing the problem of illegal drugs wherever, where, even if you're in Manila, in Quezon City, or in Davao or Cebu, if you do not address the problem of drug abuse. And I have done that before, and I have even placed it in the Dangerous Drugs Act of 2002. There is much to be desired as far as the execution is concerned. And if I given the chance, I will be able to execute it the way I did when I was vice mayor and president of the Vice Mayor's League, because my Quezon City Anti-Drug Abuse Council then was declared by the WHO and even the DILG that it was the model council, because we highlighted the problem addressing drug abuse, not just illegal drugs, like what's happening now. So if you ask me what we can do that will be continuing what is good now and better perhaps in the future, precisely the problem of addressing illegal drugs. You see, what's happening now is that, first of all, the way to address it would have to be, you should tackle enforcement, prosecution, prevention, and rehabilitation. You know, as far as illegal drugs is concerned, the government has been doing it. Enforcement, although there is, again, very debatable issues and controversies in enforcement. But prosecution, meron palang kawala na naman na dalawang drug lord eh, di ba? So there is much to be desired as far as prosecution is concerned. But then we have to have, in order to be successful here, you have to stop buying. And therefore, you have to have a very strong prevention program nationwide. That's my expertise. And then rehabilitation program nationwide likewise, because you stop them from using and you prevent the young ones from getting into it. That is the way that it is not a promise. As I said, look at the track records of what we have done before and what we have done for the country, and then you choose.
And it looks like it's pretty evident. It looks like people are seeing that, at least people who have been surveyed, because you, although you're at number two, your numbers are quite high, but it cannot be, the same cannot be said about your running mate, Senator Panfilo Lacson. How would you explain his poor showing in surveys, Senator?
The surveys are, especially the legitimate surveys, there are very different types of surveys that have been done. Merong hindi face-to-face, merong half, may hybrid, may face-to-face, hindi naman. Or hybrid, but I look at the institutional surveys like Pulse Asia and SWS and perhaps one or two more. You use it as a guide. It doesn't mean that it is already reflective of what is going to happen. I have done that before. You use it as a guide. You find out where the areas that you are lacking in.
Where are the areas?
Now, as far as the surveys of Senator Lacson are concerned, and even mine, the campaign strategy that we are doing now cannot be seen in the surveys. Like, for example, I am chairman of the Nationalist People's Coalition. Senator Lacson is chairman of the Partido Reforma Party. Secretary Rani Puno is chairman of the NUP. And we are in an alliance. We are moving on the ground. In the ground and in big organizations and big groups, most of these organizations could not be seen in the surveys yet, I mean. So perhaps let's see how the figures will come out when March or April comes along.
You mentioned a while ago that you and Senator Panfilo Lacson have decided very early on that you're just going to focus on your campaign and not talk about the other contenders as well. What do you say to criticisms that as you distanced yourself from what you call gutter politics, that you have somehow also alienated yourself from the populace?
Well, that is an opinion. I have a different opinion. We would rather stick to what we believe in. We would rather be sincere in what we are doing. And if we win, we win. If we lose because we're doing the right thing as far as our opinion is concerned, then so be it. We will still not indulge in gutter politics.
Is it clear to you now that the goal as well is not just to win the elections, but also to prevent a Marcos from occupying the palace once again?
I didn't quite get the question.
Is it clear to you that the goal now is also to prevent a Marcos from occupying Malacañang?
Well, we don't look at it that way. We have a different perspective. Perspective is that we are offering something for our countrymen to see that in the future, the next administration will be very good for the country, will be prosperous for the country, would get rid of corruption. This is how we look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not really looking at the other competitors or the other candidates.
So you don't subscribe, Mr. Senate President, to the idea that as it was some 30 years ago when you wrote that song, that now, as some would say, the enemy is within striking distance, or Malacañang at least is within striking distance once again of the enemy, that should be a goal as well? Even if you have your own campaign to run, that you should also prevent him from occupying the palace? You don't subscribe to that?
No, our goal is to win and to do good to the people. We have considered ourselves public servants, and so we're looking forward. We are looking at our work and what is good for the next generation. That is what we're looking at. And
so that basically shuts the door on any talks of unification to prosper once again.
Well,
wala na po yun. Tapos na po yun. Your goal is to win. Go ahead.
Yes, our goal is to win. Unification, if it's a good proposal, why not? But we have proposed it before and they have rejected it. So what is there to talk about now? Unless there is a different proposal.
Wala pa pong pag-uusap.
Wala. As a matter of fact, to be very candid about it, the front runners and a number of candidates have talked with us already. We've talked. Kausap-usap naman kami. And we are all looking forward into a clean, honest, orderly elections. Yung mga pinag-uusapan namin. When I met with Senator Marcos, that was the agenda we discussed. When we met with Vice President Robredo, it's the same thing. I am talking to some vice presidential candidates, and it's the same thing. When Senator Manny Pacquiao talked to us, more or less our agenda was towards that. Have clean, honest, orderly elections.
A while ago, you touched on, you know, your background, what you have done in the past. I want to focus now on your legislative experience. 9 years ago, and I can't believe it's been 9 years already. 9 years ago, when you delivered your torno en contra on the RH bill, you still remember that?
Yes.
You said then that you stand for life. Mm-mm. So I want to ask you now, Mr. Senate President, where was this stand when the deaths were mounting in Duterte's drug war? What did you do then to prevent even more deaths from happening?
All right. This is too prompt. No? First, allow me. I am pro-life. Pro-life of the unborn. I am not pro-life for heinous criminals. That is my stand before and until a few months ago. All right. Why? I filed a bill reimposing the death penalty for high-level drug trafficking. And I have very good reasons for that. As a matter of fact, it'll be very difficult to debate on that issue. Particularly, I have been debating this issue on the death penalty since 1993, when I first filed a reimposition of the death penalty for drug trafficking, which was passed. That was why the death penalty was reimposed. I was the principal author of that. But later on, you know, we debated for what, 2 years, 3 years? It was called the walang kamatayang death penalty. Senator Orly Mercado would call it every time he was majority leader. He would call it that. So narinig ko na lahat eh. Narinig ko na yung kontra, narinig ko na rin yung pro. Maraming tama din yung kontra. But when it comes to the any type of crime, mapipigil mo yan pag nahuli mo na at kinulong mo. Except high-level drug trafficking. Nakakulong na. Nag-ooperate pa ang mga lintik eh. So, you know, I was thinking that we must remove them from the face of the earth. But then, later on, I was able to craft a bill that is now going to be a law which removes them from the community. Ano? It is a bill that I filed. It's now establishing a national penitentiary for high-level drug traffickers and heinous criminals. Ihiwalay natin sila. Alisin natin sila ro sa NBP. And the NBP would be regionalized. Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao. Ano? At puro. The reason most of the, based on research, the reason these PDLs become unruly ay kapag hindi na dinadalaw ng pamilya. Eh, paano dadalawin sa Muntinlupa kung ang pamilya taga Sultan Kudarat, taga Surigao, taga Ilocos Norte? Baka once a year, hindi makadalaw eh. Nag-uumpisa na magloko. Diyan eh. So, my proposal was to regionalize Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao. Siguradong ibang usapan na yan, but remove the high-level drug traffickers and heinous criminals, place them in another penitentiary. You know? No signal, no cell site, no ibang klase ang attitude. Within the ambit of human rights. Mm. No? But remove them. Because of that, I have changed my stand on the issue of the death penalty. Senator Lacson and I, who both filed bills on this, are withdrawing our bills because we passed the law. We passed the bill, I mean, removing these heinous criminals, especially high-level drug traffickers from the community of the PDLs. You see?
Which are, yeah.
I have always been pro-life, you know, but I have never been pro-heinous criminals. Eh? You know, but again, as far as the death penalty is concerned, we have already changed our position.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about.
A bill that addresses it.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about later on. But first, I want to talk about an interview that you had in 2017. This was in the early days of the Rodrigo Duterte administration. You said that as early as 1998, we were already in the fight against illegal drugs, aside from the fact that we have the same advocacy. I've known him as an
1988.
Oh, 1988.
We've been together since 1988.
Correct. 1988. I really want him to succeed. That's what you said. As the president now nears his term, Senate President, did he succeed? Where did he fail? And where was he successful?
I would rather not say fail. I would probably say To some extent, he was able to succeed as far as enforcement is concerned. You know, if you look at the figures, you know, and hindi ako nagbibigay ng excuse para sa gobyerno right now. But if you look at the figures, there were over 100,000, almost 100,000 drug operations during that time. And over 100,000 arrests. Ang namatay lang talaga doon sa sinasabi nilang tokhang, wala pang 6,000 eh. Yung sinasabi ng ICC na 20,000 plus, mali mga report yun, hindi naman totoo yun because sinama pati murder eh. Pati murder, pati mga homicide. Yeah. Hindi kasama yun. Ang kasama dapat, if they're involved in the drug operations itself.
Yeah, but Mr. Senate President, buhay pa rin po yun, even if it's just as you said, hindi ganun yung mga numero, those are still lives lost.
No, okay. Yes, indeed. But again, as I said, as far as enforcement is concerned, there is success. And even in 2017, there was a success. But I was looking forward to also highlighting rehabilitation and prevention, which is lacking now. And therefore, that is what I am offering. And that is what we have agreed upon. And really, you know, as far as... the issue of prevention and rehabilitation is concerned. We have, together with Boy Herrera, we were able to put up Citizens Drug Watch before. You know, so yeah. If I am elected vice president, even if you do not give me any position, I know what to do, and I will be very effective because I know what to do. And all you need is the clout of the office of the vice president, and you will be able to come up with a very good prevention program nationwide and a very good rehabilitation program nationwide.
Hmm. A while ago, you mentioned your stand on death penalty. I want to bring about what you said then as a reason for your turnaround. You said it is, Senator Lacson, in fact, was the one who said this. He said, it is better that the guilty be imprisoned for life than to have innocence executed because of a wrong judgment. That was said by Senator Panfilo Lacson. And as you explained earlier, I also watched a previous explanation you gave as to why you changed your mind. And it showed really, Mr. Senate President, a man who is not uncompromising, according to some, and a man who listens. Nagbabago rin pala yung isip ninyo kapag meron kayong nalalaman na hindi nyo nalaman dati. But why do you think some people still see you as someone who is stubborn and unyielding, Mr. Senate President?
I don't know. It's a very good question, but a very tough one. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I have perhaps they have formed an impression, a different impression of myself. Of me in their minds. Therefore, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to change the minds of people.
Yeah, let's talk about one of those or a few of those impressions. And I want you to tell us if those are misimpressions or if it's correct, because you have been called homophobic, biphobic, and transphobic. What are your views regarding the LGBTIQ plus community, Mr. Senate President?
I have many friends in that community. I have many friends. As a matter of fact, I work with some of them. And if you check with Cebu, Iloilo, and some provinces here in Luzon, there are LGBT groups that are supporting me. My problem with the anti-discrimination bill that they were proposing, which they were subtitled as a SOGI bill, is not the anti-discrimination itself. I was questioning the issue of transgressing into academic independence, religious independence. That was the issues that I was bringing up. So they have a wrong impression. I think they better talk to Alan Kay and to Paolo Ballesteros.
I know. I never thought that the names of your colleagues in your popular noontime show would actually make an appearance in this noontime.
Well, they can vouch for my. They can vouch for me as far as the LGBT community is concerned. Perhaps even more. I know many of them, and we are friends. My daughters and my wife are rub elbows with everyone.
But what about when it comes to love and marriage and unions? What are your thoughts regarding that within that same community?
Well, I've been married for 52 years, so perhaps it's self-explanatory. I believe in forever. When you
yeah, but also within for the LGBT IQ plus community, do you also believe that they deserve marriage?
Yes, I have no problem with same sex union. The problem with same sex marriage is it will be bumping something in the constitution and in the family code. So it has to be addressed that way. You know, but as far as same-sex union is concerned, I have no problem with that.
And with all these criticisms that have been hurled against you, what keeps you from breaking, Mr. Senate President?
I have been through fire. I have been through many issues, most of them incorrect. And I leave it up to God most of the time. I'm a very religious person. My family is a very religious family. From my mother down to us and to my children. So perhaps that is the strength that we have, that I have. My foundation as far as religion is concerned.
Okay. And you're also not one to hold criticisms. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from this break. More of our interview with Senate President Vicente Soto III after this quick break. Stay with us here. You're watching In Focus on Dateline Philippines here on ANC. You're still watching ANC in Focus on Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And still with us is Senate President Vicente Soto III. He is, of course, one of the contenders for the second highest post of the land. We're going to talk to him in a bit, but first we have this just in. Metro Manila and over two dozen areas in the Philippines will remain under Alert Level 3 until the end of the month. That decision comes after the interagency task force met Wednesday night. It also comes after Metro Manila mayors recommended the extension of the current alert status. Meanwhile, over a dozen areas will be under alert level 2, including Apayao, Batanes, Palawan, Masbate, and Siquijor. And back with us, Vice Presidential Bet, Senate President Vicente Soto III. Mr. Senate President, good afternoon once again, and thanks for joining us today. As we mentioned a while ago, you're also not one to hold back criticisms. In 2017, when the Commission on Human Rights budget was slashed to a mere 1,000 pesos because the chairman then, the late Chito Gascon, was critical of the drug war, you told reporters, ang kasabihan goes, if you work for an administration, for an institution, or you're with an institution, speak well of it. Otherwise, resign. How do you then reconcile that statement of yours and that belief of yours with how you've been critical now of the IATF and the DOH and their pandemic response, Mr. Senate President?
Well, I am not in the executive department. I am not in that institution. I am in the legislative department. And if you will notice, even if there are some controversial issues emanating from the, even from the House of Representatives and some of my colleagues, I always invoke parliamentary ethics that you never question the motive of any parliamentarian. your fellow parliamentarian, I should say.
So how difficult is that for you?
I was talking about the institution that I was talking about is the executive department. You're part of the executive department. I think it's just right that you support and you follow the line of your bosses or your leaders. Otherwise, then you must leave and criticize these leaders. I hope I was very clear about that. I was not part of that institution.
How difficult is that for you to do, Mr. Senate President, to hold back when it is needed and to pounce when it is needed? Mahirap po na trabaho yun kasi yung iba po, bira ng bira, yung iba naman hindi nagsasalita. Pero kayo po, nagagawa niyo pareho.
Well, there are ways of going about things. Like, for example, you go through the bath. You don't have to directly say, hey, you're wrong. You can probably say that this is a better option. You see, and that's how I've been brought up. You know, that's who I am. I criticize when it needs criticism.
Mr. Senate President, the country faces many problems exacerbated by this pandemic. Should you win as Vice President, what will you focus on to help the country recover from the crisis?
Well, as I said earlier, though, first, we must have the only way to be successful as far as illegal drugs is concerned is to have a very strong drug abuse resistance program, a drug prevention. In other words, drug abuse must be highlighted in order to be successful in illegal drugs. That's one. Second, these are proposals that I have already made, and Senator Lacson agrees completely. Second, in order for our economy to prosper, in order for us to get back on our feet, considering that the pandemic will still be there, one area of concern is the agriculture sector. My proposal is for government to buy 50% of all the output of all farmers nationwide. Believe me, the farmers are very happy with this. We have been around. I have told them about it. Ang isabi, sinasabi pa nga nila, eh, kahit 40% lang daw. No, 50% is good enough because we have been doing it already. In Davao del Norte, Isabela tried it before. Davao del Norte now, with Governor Hubahib, the prodigy of Speaker Bebel Alvarez, buys all the farm products in Davao del Norte. And they bring it to the market. Ang kumikita nga, yung market vendors pa nga eh. Pero ang kumikita yung mga farmers because we should buy them at their farm gate price. Not unlike what's happening now, na they succumb to the prices of the traders and the middlemen. You know, when we do that, it will definitely be a boom. It will be a good first step for economic recovery.
Sorry, but we're running out of time. And just as a final question, before we go into the rapid fire round, what are your thoughts about those who are very critical of the unfolding or the beginnings of a Soto dynasty?
There's no dynasty. The Mayor Vico is in Pasig. My son is in Quezon City. You know, if we're all in one place, well, perhaps you can call that a dynasty, but we're not. And there's no one running for the Senate now that my term is ending. I don't think we fall under that category. Although, I have to be very frank about it, we were the original dynasty because in 1917, grand uncle Filimon Soto was a senator, and later on, my grandfather Vicente Soto became a senator also. Sabay sila. There were two Sotos and there were two Rojos in the 1935 Constitution, Kaya kami yung original na dynasty. You leave it to the people. But,
okay.
I don't. Anyway, go ahead.
Time for a rapid fire round. Mabilis lang po ito. First thought that comes to mind, Mr. Senate President. Are you ready?
Yep.
Last book you read.
I hope so. I guess, sorry?
Last
again,
book.
Again.
Last book you read.
Last
book.
Last book I read.
Yeah.
What was this? I think it was a book of I forgot the title. It's a book about Biden.
Oh, okay. Last text message you sent or phone call?
Today, my brother, I was asking him if he can help me with a 30-seconder that a group made and presented it to me. So I sent it to him, asked him to take a look at it.
Which brother is this?
Maru.
All right.
Marcelino Jr., the he used to be the one of the sales heads of APT or TAPE. Idbulaga.
All right. Showbiz or politics?
Oh, no. Both.
Macho ka daw, Senator, pero sinong kinatatakutan nyo?
Saan?
Macho ka daw, pero sinong kinatatakutan nyo?
Takot ako sa asawa. I do not want to displease her. Macho kami, machunurin. It's not confined to me alone. Senator Lacson and Senator Honasan are valedictorian and salutatorian.
Revive death penalty or legalize marijuana?
Choice between the two?
Yeah.
Revive death penalty or, legalize cannabis oil, not marijuana.
Same-sex marriage or
divorce? That's a different thing.
Huh? Same-sex marriage or divorce?
Wow. I refuse.
Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson?
Tiger Woods.
Walter Ray Williams Jr. or Paeng Nepomuceno?
Paeng Nepomuceno.
Wawawi or Showtime? Or It's Showtime?
Well, I win.
Okay. Ito, medyo mahirap to. FPJ or ERAP?
FPJ.
Okay. Aawitin mo at isasayaw ko or Rock Baby Rock? Mga pinadala lang to sa akin, Senate President.
Wow. Wow. Awitin mo, isasayaw ko. That was the icebreaker. Eh? That was the monster hit. Eh?
Describe your candidacy in one word, Mr. Senate President.
Honest.
Escalera or Ungasis?
In what sense? There should be a context. In what sense? You want entertainment? Escalera. If you want a good boy, Ungasis.
All right. Person you'd love to meet, dead or alive, and what would you tell him or her?
A person I would want to meet?
Dead or alive.
Well, the person I want to meet is not dead, but he's not alive. Well, in the sense of Jesus Christ.
And what would you tell him?
Well, ask him to guide me, tell me what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing right.
All right.
What he thinks my life.
Last two questions. Vic or Joey?
Again, in what context? They're both geniuses. It'll be very difficult to choose.
Finally, theoretical question, Mr. Senate President. You find out that you just won the elections. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I will sign a waiver on my bank secrecy. That is what Senator Lacson and I have agreed on. One win, you must show leadership. Lead by example. We will open our bank accounts. Remove ourselves from the bank secrecy law. Sign a waiver.
Senate President Vicente Soto III, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate you coming to the show. Maraming salamat po.
My honor and pleasure, Carmina. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. That was Senate President Vicente Soto III, Vice Presidential candidate in the 2022 elections. And next on In Focus, it's the turn of Senator Francis Pangilinan to take the hot seat. We'll speak to Senator Pangilinan about his bid for the vice presidency on January 18th here on Dateline Philippines. You got any questions, send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Use the hashtag ANC in Focus. That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.